Good morning. It's 9:30 on a foggy, foggy Monday morning, and it's time for a food talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Yeah, we're really sucked in. It's really something.
We can almost see across the parking lot. Although I will say quickly, we don't normally do weather on a food talk, but I'm looking at today's weather report and it says foggy early, then sunny.
Oh, yay.
With highs in the mid 60s. So you were just in this mysterious place for a short time.
Well, that totally mirrors the soup making that I've been doing for the last week or so.
Really?
Yeah, because I made split pea soup with ham. So that's like fog. And then I made asparagus soup, which is just sun.
Yeah, it's spring too.
Yeah, I know. So asparagus is cheap now. That's so good. Man, I just love it.
Yeah, yeah. We've been eating a fair amount of it too. It's hard to resist, and it's so universally easy to. No matter what you do with it, it isn't very complicated.
Hard to hurt.
Yeah, that's right. Would that we all would be that way.
Yeah.
Well, what have you been cooking?
Well, soup. I made asparagus soup, and I read something on the internet, which sometimes lies, but this time it turns out it didn't. That really helped. So you know how you don't want, when you make asparagus soup, those woody ends in there because they just make this whole fibrous awful mess in the soup. And so what it said to do was, because sometimes asparagus soup can just taste like nothing, you know. So they said to do what you do, snap the ends off. You know, you snap it so that you're just getting tender asparagus. And then take the ends and boil them in the water you're going to use for the soup for half an hour.
Oh.
And it'll impart a lot of asparagus flavor. And it does. It totally worked.
That's great.
Yeah. So you just boil those and then you use that water for your soup.
Okay.
So that worked really, really good.
Good tip.
Yeah. Such a pretty color, you know.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yum. Asparagus soup with a little tiny bit of butter floating on the top.
That's a good idea. Oh. And it's supposed to be really good with crab.
Oh, I imagine it would be fabulous with crab.
I suppose everything
little,
is.
yeah, right. A little dollop of creme fraiche would be nice. Are we hungry? I think I might be hungry.
Did you see how I breezed over my apron part?
Oh, yeah. What about your apron?
I forgot.
Oh.
Which is sad because it's such an apron time of year for me. I haven't been doing that much cooking. I'm just spring cleaning, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's that time of year.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Spring cleaning.
You don't want to, put the Easter eggs on top of dust bunnies.
Save money on all that fake grass. Just
do some spin. I'm nestling those eggs.
Ay, ay, ay. I got my oven fixed. You know, last time we
talked,
it got fixed. And here's a weird thing. I have an electric range like you do. And the oven and broiler quit and the top continued to work. Which was not sustainable in me, especially in this season.
Yeah.
I mean, we can use our ovens now. What the heck?
Yeah.
And, of course, the minute it didn't work, all I wanted to do was something in the oven. It was crazy. But anyway, we got a very lovely repair person to come and look at it. And he was stumped, but he was smart enough to get on his phone and double check with the a manufacturer and try to figure it out. And he did figure it out. And the thing was, just like a computer, the first thing you should do is reboot. But we had gone out and checked to make sure that the breaker wasn't blown. And how do you reboot your stove, you know? Well, it turns out what you do is turn off the breaker for 5 minutes.
Really?
And then turn it back on.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, we got it fixed for no parts at all.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I know. So
it was just
go.
A glitch. It wasn't even a
who knows, why.
Part. Oh, that's so cool.
Anyway.
Well,
so
I was thinking because I read a hip fish article of yours, and one sentence in there caught my attention. It says you were talking about things you were thankful for, and one was a fully functional kitchen. And I'm like, oh, right there, she jinxed herself, because that was right after that your oven broke.
That's probably what happened. We wondered what happened. That was it. I had to make
a
big
jinx.
Deal of it.
A hip fish jinx.
Oh, you know, that should teach me to be careful what I say, but it won't. So I did celebrate having an oven, though, by making shepherd's pie.
Oh, right on.
Because I had, it's one of those things that if you, if you can think of shepherd's pie, the odds are you have everything you need.
Yeah,
I mean, I never use lamb in it, so it doesn't matter that I don't have lamb.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really good. And it was really good the next day. Hey, you know what I did the next day to try to disguise the fact that I was giving Tom the same meal?
What?
It bakes, and then you have it, and you put the leftovers in the fridge, and then it gets a little dried out.
Okay.
So I scraped the layer of mashed potatoes off the top and mixed the filling with some of your tomato soup that I had left over.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not, for those of you listening, this is not a can of tomato soup. This is a roasted tomato soup that is like ambrosia. And because I was going to use just some tomato paste and make a mm-hmm. little, you know, gravy to add to this. But man, that was delicious.
It's worth it getting sick so I bring it over, huh?
It was really good. And then I put the potatoes back on top and heated the whole thing up, added a little cheese, which
that's
I
really creative.
Yeah.
See, what I do is I just like put it in a bowl instead of on a plate. And I'm like, no, honey, it's different.
It's stew.
No, look, it's way different.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of stew.
You know somebody named Stew?
I don't think I do. No. I used to. No. I tried this new recipe, mm-hmm. which is something that always causes a hitch in Tom's voice when I go, oh, I'm trying a new recipe. And he's like, good.
Great.
because it sounded, I had everything but one ingredient. So I thought I'm going to try it. And also I'm braising because I have an oven now.
Yay.
And this was Guinness braised beef thing.
Okay.
And I'm not really a beer drinker. And when I do drink beer, I don't want a Guinness. Ugh. And Tom doesn't drink Guinness either. So I had to buy Guinness, mm-hmm. Which it turns out you can't just buy a can of Guinness like you can some things.
Oh, really?
Well, I didn't find any.
Okay.
Now, maybe you can.
Okay.
You probably can, but I didn't. So I was stuck buying a six pack, which I used four cans of because... you do the braise of the beef the same way that you would to start anything like this. You cut it into whatever size chunks mm-hmm. they tell you to. You dredge it a little bit and then sear it really quick and take it out of the pan and proceed with whatever else you're going to do. And this was a gravy kind of thing. And I had all the ingredients and I made it exactly according to the directions and added the beef stock and the Guinness and tasted it to see if it needed more salt and pepper. And it tasted funny.
Okay.
It tasted like kind of a almost metallic aftertaste.
Ooh, really?
And I thought, okay, I've done something really wrong. I dumped it and started over with new gravy.
Okay.
And I cleaned the pan and everything and made it. Was very careful and made it again, and it just wasn't good.
But if you don't like the beer, how are you going to like the dish?
Well, that's what I blamed it on.
Oh, yeah, seriously.
So, but then I thought, okay, this is crazy. This is a weird little aftertaste, and maybe I just need to put the rest of the stuff in it, the veg and the meat, and put it in the oven for 2.5 hours. Maybe that's what's wrong.
Okay.
So that's what I did, and sure enough, it tasted the same. when I pulled it out of the oven. So I don't know. I ended up like tossing all the meat in a colander and rinsing the sauce off of it. And I'm going to mince it up in the doggy dinners. But I think that's so sad because it sounded good.
But in my dotage, I have discovered if I don't like an ingredient, I am not going to like it in a dish. And so it's not like I'm a picky eater. There's not a ton of things I don't like. But like that, I don't even know how to say it, Marianne, but that asafoetida
or whatever it is. Yeah.
I hate that stuff. And if I put it in a recipe, because whenever it's in like an Indian recipe, it'll call for a quarter teaspoon, but I can taste it and I hate it. So I just don't put it in.
Yeah.
If there's something I don't like, and beers are a big thing. So like I like red beer. And I like yellow beer, but I don't like dark beers. And so if it calls for a dark beer, I'll use a red beer.
I should have just used a stout from one of our fabulous local producers.
Oh, there's so many, yeah.
Because I do like a dark beer, but I've never liked Guinness.
Yeah, so I would pick one that I like. And same thing, I don't make that Guinness cake because I just don't like Guinness.
Yeah.
And it's not anything against them. It's an acquired taste, it's and just, I just haven't acquired it.
That's
you know?
Right. We didn't grow up drinking it.
No. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a crazy exercise in futility, I swear. But it makes me decide that I'm going to do this bourbon braised beef tomorrow because
we like bourbon.
I like that.
Hey, I'm wondering if you think before you make something about how many dishes are going to be in the cleanup.
Yes, ma'am.
I do too. Like, you know those Emily's potatoes?
Yes.
That are so good. But there's such a monumental cleanup around that thing because, you know, if any of you have ever tried to make it, you peel the potatoes and you cut them up. So you've got a cutting board and you've got a knife and a peeler. And then you boil them in a pot. So you've got a big pot. You boil these cut up pieces of potatoes. Then you have a colander because you strain them. You put them back in the pot. You put the lid on the pot. So you've got a lid. You shake them up. And then you spread them out over two racks to dry. Well, if you have racks to dry, you've got pans underneath them so they don't drip all over everything. You can put them in the fridge or not. And then you put them on roasting pans in the oven with a half a cup of oil, I think. And so you've got a measuring cup. So you've got the two drying racks, the two drying pans, the two roasting pans. You've got I mean, there's just such a monumental cleanup around that thing.
Sinkful.
It's more than a dishwasher.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really something. And so that is something I think about. There's a lady I like on the internet. Her name is, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, Justine Doiron. It's Doiron. And she's pretty vegetable forward. And I just like her recipes. So there was an article in the New York Times, and they said that cabbage is the new bacon.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I did not know.
Well, why do we read the Times?
I know, but just that it's trendy.
Yeah.
And I do really, really like roasted cabbage. And so this was sort of a roasted cabbage with a tahini brown butter.
Oh, yum.
And I like tahini and I like brown butter. So I thought, okay, I'm going to make this. So what she does is she takes a big regular cabbage and she cuts it into wedges, big wedges, and she leaves the core on so that the thing will hold together.
Yeah.
And so generally when I roast cabbage, I like red cabbage and I cut it into big squares. But that is a problem, keeping everything together.
Yeah.
So I'm worried more about bite size or whatever. So you put them in a pan and you brown them. So that's one thing. One
pan.
Yeah. And then you put them on a roasting pan and stick them in the oven at like 400 degrees. And then you drizzle them with white vinegar, which I wondered was really necessary because, boy, howdy it smelled. I mean, boy, howdy it smelled.
Because they're hot when you drizzle them.
Well, just because it's vinegar.
Yeah.
Hot, white vinegar coming out of a vapor in your oven.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You drizzle them and then put them in the oven.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after you've browned them. And so I don't know if that was necessary because I've roasted cabbage many times and it turns out nice and brown. But anyway, so there was that. And then she has you make a sauce out of butter that you brown and then tahini and sumac and a little bit of lemon and some fresh mint. And I like all those things. And I have a fermented sumac that I just love. And so you make a sauce and you're supposed to make it in that big skillet, but I can't tell when butter is browned unless I do it in a light colored pan.
Uh-huh.
Because there's such a fine line between browned and burnt.
You know,
you want it really nutty flavored.
And yeah.
So I had to use another pan. And it was really good. The sauce was good. The cabbage was good. But I've roasted cabbage in the oven before and I know it gets pretty decently brown. I mean, it really does. And so I think if I made it again, I would just roast the cabbage in the oven. I don't know if the vinegar was necessary. I think I would try it without the vinegar.
Uh-huh.
And then just make the sauce in a little pan and it would be less cleanup.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, but I really liked it. I thought it was really good. It was a real good combination of things that I don't typically put together. You
yeah.
know? But it was good.
I love cabbage too.
Yeah. Well, and then yesterday, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
St. Patrick's
I think
Day.
That's why that inspired me to make Guinness Braisby. And yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
St. Paddy's.
I want to remind everybody quickly that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web. Both fine institutions have great websites. Please check out KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org.
Yay!
Yeah.
Love them both.
Yep.
So I have company coming just for a day, but I'm pretty excited. It's my best friend's kids. They live in Colorado. They've got a couple kids of their own that are teenagers. So really excited to see them. I haven't seen the children since they were like 10. So
wow.
I know. You know, that whole COVID thing, nobody saw anybody.
I know. That's
and
right.
The ones that were young, they grew.
Didn't we all? So what are you cooking for them?
Well, that's the thing. So normally, you know, I have like go-to type things, you know, and I really, really like cooking Asian food. I just do. And it's an easy thing that, you know, picky kids can get picky kid things and, you know, yeah, gorgy adults can get, you know, the guys can eat as much meat as they want and stuff like that. But I haven't been able to get that sambal olek.
Oh, yeah.
That chili paste that is such an essential part to my Asian cooking. And so they have had it, like I have seen sriracha recently.
Yeah.
In the last month, which gave me hope.
Yeah.
You know, but at the restaurant supply store, they had like a giant thunder pack. I mean, it's literally like a gallon, and I might have to buy it because it's been so long, you know.
Yeah.
And it just makes everything in my mind how I like it, you know, delicious.
Uh-huh.
And so, anyway.
Well,
if any of you need like a quart of sambal.
I have some sambal, I think. I don't know how much you need, but I'll talk to you after the show.
Holy cow.
I could make that happen.
We'd
for
have
you.
Like a parking lot deal.
Ooh.
We're going to trade you some tomato soup.
Ay, ay, ay. Well.
Been cooking anything else?
You know, I feel like I've been cooking, but I'll be darned if I could tell you what it was.
Well, that's it. For me, it's just nothing, not monumental. And then with the spring cleaning, I mean, it really is like, here's your little Smokies. You know, remember when you were supposed to buy little cuties? Well, here's your little Smokies.
Oh, my gosh.
I warmed them up.
That reminds me of Thanksgiving with Tom's family in Texas. And his aunt always, the whole family would gather at a ranch and spend the holiday together. And in the first morning's breakfast, his aunt would always bring little Smokies.
Aww.
Yes. Tons of them because there were lots of us. And that just, little Smokies always remind me of Thanksgiving in Texas. It's crazy.
Aww.
I did. I use breakfast for dinner as a quick, I don't have to think about dinner on any day when we have porridge for breakfast. I'm like, oh, I have eggs available now.
Yeah, I did it twice in the last 2 weeks.
I did it twice in the last week, probably.
Oh, wow.
And if I do a little extra and make it into an omelet, mm-hmm. I made a big batch of scalloped potatoes at one point in celebration of my oven. And so then I have those that I can rewarm and make a ham and cheese omelet or something. And there you go. It's dinner.
Yeah.
It's so, breakfast is so fast and easy and so malleable that it's really an easy, I can't stand the thought of making dinner.
Well, and
solution.
Then this time of year when the asparagus is cheap and that's what starts it, we eat a lot of vegetables with breakfast. So normally where breakfast would be pretty starchy, you
uh-huh.
know, eggs and a bunch of starchy type things, it's now eggs and asparagus. And then if I have something left over like potatoes, you know, then
uh-huh.
I'll warm those up. But if it's just the essentials, it's just eggs and asparagus. And then that goes, you know, later to eggs and zucchini and
uh-huh.
and then eventually there aren't vegetables.
Eggs and peppers are good.
Yeah, I'm not a giant pepper fan.
Yeah.
I know most people are. I like red peppers, but to me, they can be so overpowering and so burping them all day, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so I use them as like decoration pretty much or just a little bit in a cold like macaroni salad type thing. But I kind of steer clear of them just because of their extreme flavor to me.
And do they do that to you no matter what color you use?
Well, I like reds the best. I really don't like green unless it's on a pizza. I like it on a pizza.
I
but
really
that's the
like
only
green
place
peppers.
I like it.
But I favor green peppers for stuffed peppers over any other color.
Okay.
But green pepper and egg, scrambled eggs with some stuff added is a classic Italian thing, I think.
Okay. I like chilies.
And, oh, yeah.
So I'm excited about Hatch chilies, you know, this spring. Those will be really good. I like poblanos.
We have a new local producer, small producer, that's making hot sauces out of fabulous peppers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All kinds.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And there is a Hatch chili.
Okay.
Pepper sauce.
That's great. No, I didn't know.
Everybody keep your eyes open. We like to support our local food producers.
Yeah.
And they're very, you know, the food producers that I discover through our local North Coast Food Web, which exists to support local food producers, those folks are usually so very local. They're small. They're making their own thing, often growing the ingredients, and that is really
and they're usually making something that they're really good at, which is just fun to have access to. Well, I got at the food web somebody who does eggs gave me a goose egg, and I don't know what to do with it.
Oh,
have
my
you ever
gosh
had a goose egg?
I've seen them. I've never done anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've baked with duck eggs, but I don't know what, and it's one. I don't know what to do with one goose egg. It's in my fridge. It's kind of intimidating.
I don't know what the flavor is, but I mean, you could make a humongous omelet with a goose egg.
And that would be an omelet. I am excited for Easter just because of just all the local eggs that are available in our area. And I've said this before, but I just, this year, I don't know why, I'm just so taken with the beauty of them. And just the green and the blue, the dark blue, the light blue, the brown, the tan, the cream, the white, they're all so beautiful together. And even a few days ago, a week ago or so, I cracked open an egg and it was tan on the outside and it was blue on the inside.
Wow.
I know. And so I don't know why. I just thought it was such a gorgeous and unexpected thing. And so I called the lady that I got the eggs from at the food web, and she said that it was that there's chickens, you know, how there's all these different breeds of chickens.
Yeah.
But then there's also mutt chickens that they just call barnyard chickens.
Uh-huh.
And she has like 200 chickens. And so it's just her one weird barnyard chicken that she calls Special Girl. And she makes these eggs that are tan on the outside and blue on the inside. She just lays them inside out. Isn't that funny? But it was just such a unexpected and just lovely thing, you know? It was just... It wasn't quite robin's egg blue, but it was like if you mixed just a little bit of white into robin's egg blue, because it was still a stunning, beautiful color and just so unexpected.
Wow.
Yeah. And who knew that there were, you know, mutt chickens?
I never thought about it, but why not?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. And that just something that you never know what you get, you know, polka dots. And she has speckled ones, which are pretty close to polka dots. But isn't that kind of cool? Just like some weird serendipity.
Yeah. It's a gift.
Yeah. Special girl.
Yeah. Do you do something for Easter food-wise?
Let's see.
Is it a traditional thing at your house?
Not as much as Thanksgiving and Christmas. It just depends. And we did nothing through COVID, you know.
Yeah.
So it just depends if there's family that's going to come. That's really what decides it, you know. So... I'm not one to warm up a ham for an entree. I think that they get really dry and weird when they sit. And so usually it's something else, lamb or beef or even a turkey, but not what you think of as a traditional Easter dinner. I know that you're super into holidays.
Oh, yeah. I celebrate nothing except being alive every single day.
And her fully functional kitchen.
I'm not kidding. Are you going to jinx my kitchen now?
Oh, no. Now that
Cuisinart's going to go.
It'll be my fault. I'm so sorry. I wasn't thinking. And that's the thing about extroverts. Just these words come out. There's no sieve.
We were talking about that before going on air, because Linda and I, neither one of us can actually shut up. And well, I was talking about a beloved friend who is an introvert, and how wise introverts seem to be, because they actually consider what they're going to say
before
they say it. I don't know what the trick to that is. Jeez. It's a shame.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
What do you think of as a traditional Easter meal?
I don't. I mean, seriously, yes. I don't come from a family who doesn't celebrate holidays. My family celebrated holidays, but Easter wasn't one of them.
Our family, it was always ham and scalloped potatoes. Those were the two big things that were there. And then lots of candy.
Lots of candy. Yeah.
And I think people make lamb.
I suspect. I mean, it's spring, right? So yeah. I don't know. But yeah. I didn't grow up with a special Easter celebration in terms of food. So
yeah, pretty much it's egg salad the day after.
It's so great.
I guess that is the
greatest leftover thing of eggs is egg salad.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah, and it works for so many things.
Yeah, I just usually make it with, you know, equal parts egg and yolk. But I've seen that there's, I think it was in the New York Times, where they had a recipe, and this is years ago, but it was for some famous deli how they made theirs, and they use a lot of yolks compared to the whites.
Oh.
And so they make a very thick, almost like probably mashed potato consistency yolk, you know.
A mixture.
Yeah, yeah. And then they put some whites in it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so it was a lot more yolks.
Martha Stewart puts softened butter into her.
I wonder why. I mean, I know mayonnaise is a fat, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried it once, and I didn't think that it was a good use of my butter.
Okay.
I mean, there was nothing not to like about it, but it didn't add anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I don't know if she still does it. That was in one of her very first cookbooks where she's dressed in that crazy dress.
Puffy sleeves. Yeah. Well, but it would be less liquid, and that's always the problem, you know, less liquid than mayonnaise.
Yeah,
you know?
That is the
problem.
So
you would have a thicker,
it would
maybe
hold.
That's like an East Coast thing, is that thick yolk substrate, and then, or not substrate, but just mixture, and then just a few whites. So maybe that's why.
Maybe. I always try to have a half a dozen or, you know, a few hard-boiled eggs in the fridge because they're really, if dinner one night is going to be a really nice sandwich and a cup of soup, a deviled egg on the side makes it look like, you know, first of all, it fills up the plate.
Yes, yes.
Second of all, it makes it feel more like I tried.
Yeah. Well, and then for egg salad and deviled eggs, for me, the secret is to put the egg yolks in a food processor with the mayonnaise and mustard. And you got to have mustard in there. That's your...
Yeah,
your,
yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Emulsifier.
It's a word. That's your thing. Yeah, emulsifier. And then it's just so smooth and delicious compared to mashing it up with a fork. For me, it really makes it a lot better, the food processor.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's true. Although I never bother... For one deviled egg.
I know, yeah.
I'm going to do it in a little bowl with
pork. But for Easter, if you're making a bunch.
Yeah, that's right. And also, if I'm making a bunch, like a tray of eggs, mm-hmm. I want to be able to pipe it.
Yeah.
And you need to really have it be the right consistency for that.
Yeah.
But for one deviled egg, I'm just going to use a fork, mash it up, and spoon it in there. It still tastes good. And I live with somebody who likes deviled eggs really a lot. So that's a no-brainer little side thing on a plate for me.
Yeah, I should make them more often. Definitely.
We are out of time.
Oh.
I know. Do you want to sing us out?
Yeah, I'll sing a song that my dad always sang at our birthdays. Happy birthday, oh happy birthday. Cut off Easter bunny's legs, blood all over Easter eggs.